You can see I'm not David. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. Christians all over the world are coming together today, tomorrow, and all through the week to retell the story of the last week of Christ's life. In this last week, the gospel reaches a climax, and we see Christ's journey to the cross end. We see man in all his depravity, and we see God in all his glory. So let's go back 2,000 years. Let's imagine that we are Jews heading to Jerusalem with thousands of other Jews because it's Passover. Now remember what Passover was. Passover was the time when the Jews remembered how God had been faithful to them in Egypt. If you remember, the Israelites were slaves, and Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said no, time and time and time again. So God sent many plagues to the Egyptians. The last was the death of the firstborn son. Now it's important to note that God did not want this destructive plague to fall on the Israelites. So he said to them, "Each household, take a lamb, slaughter it, and place the blood over the door frames of your home. This blood will be a sign to God to pass over your home as the angel of death goes through Egypt." Isn't it interesting that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross at Passover? Remember what John said? "Behold, the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world." Okay, so let's get back to Jerusalem. Put yourself in the scene. It's crowded. It's hot. And we're all tired. And we're heading to the city. We can see the walls, but we know accommodations are going to be hard to find, so we need to get there soon. I mean, let's face it, everybody goes to Jerusalem for Passover. But as we make it through, and as we see the walls, it seems to get harder and harder to get towards Jerusalem. It seems that a great number of people are pouring out of the city and pushing past us. I feel like a salmon swimming upstream. So I say, "Excuse me, where are you going? Jerusalem is that way." And a man pushes past me and says, "I know Jerusalem's that way, but I heard Jesus, the Nazarene, is coming." "Who?" I say. "Jesus. Haven't you heard about him? The carpenter from Nazareth. I hear he's coming. I want to see him." So I turned around, and I realized that the crowd was actually standing still behind me. They were forming a line, kind of like a parade route. Well, it looks like something interesting is coming, so I might as well get in line and see what all the excitement is about. Well, I looked down the path, nothing. Well, I guess we're here for a while, but I'm up for it. How about you? Let's see who's waiting in line. There seems to be quite a cross-section. There's men, there's women, there's children. Oh, and there's even some of those religious types, you know, those Sadducees and Pharisees. I wonder what these people are hoping for. I wonder what these people are expecting. Who was this Jesus? Well, whoever he was drawing quite a crowd. Well, here goes. "Excuse me, can anybody tell me why we're all gathered?" Everyone looked at me and stared. A short young man said, "To see Jesus. I first saw him 3 years ago at the Jordan River. I was there to hear a man speak of God. His name was John, John the Baptist. This Jesus was baptized by John. Funny thing, though, as Jesus was coming out of the water, it seemed as if the sky opened up and a dove descended. And then there was some thunder. But I could have swore that there was a voice that said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I haven't seen Jesus since, but I've always wondered what happened to him. Something strange happened that day. Some say he was the Son of God. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I just gotta go see for myself. And then I heard another voice, a woman behind me. "Hi, hi, my name's Ruth. I've seen Jesus before. He was at a wedding I was at a few years ago in Canaan." He sure had the servants going that day. Apparently, they ran out of wine halfway through the wedding. A servant told me that Jesus' mother came to the servants and told them to do whatever Jesus said. So they did. Jesus told the servants to fill the jars with water, so they filled them to the brim. Then Jesus told them to draw out and take that water to the master of the banquet. They did. The master tasted the water that had been turned into wine and explained to the bridegroom it was the best wine he had ever tasted. I tasted some of that wine too. It was wonderful. Actually, the best I'd ever tasted. I always thought Jesus was something special. I mean, how did he manage to turn plain old water into wine? Then another voice caught my attention. It was a little child. "Jesus is the Messiah, the one we hope for, the one we're waiting for. I'm Jacob. I've heard a lot about Jesus. I believe he's the one whom the prophets spoke about. He makes the lame walk and the blind see. In fact, I heard that he doesn't even have to be near a guy to heal him." "What do you mean?" I said. "Well, you see, there was this official in Cana in Galilee. He had a sick son in the town of Capernaum. When this official heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee, he went to see Jesus and begged him to come and heal his son. He was close to death. Jesus told him, 'He may go. His son would live.' And you know what? The official believed Jesus and left. And while he was still on the way home, his servants met him with news. His boy was not only alive, but doing well. Apparently, the boy had started to get well the exact moment Jesus had said, 'Your son will live.' Now you gotta admit, Jesus must have some special pull with God." "Perhaps," said a bearded man. "But he sure makes the Pharisees and Sadducees jumpy." "What do you mean?" I said. "He's not your everyday preacher. He speaks with authority no one can really explain. He converses freely with women, with sinners. He eats with them, and he heals on the Sabbath." "The Sabbath, I say?" "Yes. Saturday is our Sabbath, our day of rest. No work is to be done, yet he heals on the Sabbath. In fact, he healed an invalid near the pool of Bethsaida on the Sabbath." "You know what? I think that's when the Sanhedrin began to question him. He calls God his father. That makes him equal to God. Some believe he's a blasphemer." And then I heard a voice a far distance away. "Well, can you blame him? He healed on the Sabbath. He claims to be equal to God. He's a deceiver. He's mad. I hear many have tried to stone him. Some say he's demon-possessed. Besides, Jesus came from Nazareth. What comes out of Nazareth? He's from Galilee. Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from Judah, from David's town, from Bethlehem? He can't be the Messiah." Okay, I just take a step back for a moment. Obviously, the verdict is out on who this Jesus is. It seems there's curiosity. It seems that some want to know more about him. It seems some want to seize him, and some want to worship him, but all are drawn to him now. "Excuse me, lady," was the kid again, Jacob. "Yes." Jesus has done many more things than you have heard. He has walked on water. He has fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's healed a blind man by only using mud and water. He is the Messiah. I know he is. I know he is too. I turned around to see an old man, a confident voice. Jesus has raised the dead. He has brought the dead back to life. I know it's hard to believe. I know. I saw him do it. It took place in Bethany. That's a town not far from here. A man named Lazarus had died and been placed in a tomb. Now I want to tell you, he was dead. He was dead, 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 dead. He was dead for 4 days when Jesus came. When Jesus came to the tomb, he asked the mourners to roll the stone from the tomb. They were reluctant because it would smell. Then Jesus looked up at heaven and called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. I mean, it was actually quite funny. He shuffled out. You see, he was still wrapped in strips of linen. But once they unwrapped him, you could see that he was very much alive. Jesus had power over death. Only God has power over death. Jesus must be God. He must be. "There he is! There he is!" shouted Jacob. I turned my head, and I saw a man about half a mile away. He was coming towards us. You know, he didn't look much different than any other Jewish man. He was riding a donkey. He was headed towards Jerusalem, just like we were. Yet there was a sense of excitement in the air, a sense of this man being much more than he appeared. As he rode past me, he looked at me. He gazed at me. He smiled at me. And I had a great overwhelming sense of love and acceptance. The people around me began taking palm branches off neighboring trees and waving them high in the air. People began shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." People lined his path with coats, with palms. The mood was so celebratory. "Our King has come. Messiah, Messiah, Messiah to the Son of David, Messiah to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus, the Messiah reigns." Were you there? Could you see it? Must have been exciting to be there, to see the Messiah. But today I want to ask you, who are you most like? Are you like the short man in front of me, who knew a little bit about Jesus, but didn't really know who he was? Or are you more like Ruth, the woman who heard of Christ's miracles, who tasted the wine, knew it was good, yet wasn't really sure of whether Christ is all the others claim he is? Perhaps you're like the child. You've examined all the evidence, and you know in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Perhaps you're like the old man. You know Jesus is Lord because you have experienced him personally in a concrete way. Today, we, like the people in the crowds on that first Palm Sunday, are asked to re-examine our experience of Jesus. Who do you say he is? If he rode into the sanctuary today, how would you feel? Would you be excited? Would you be scared? Would you want to run away? Or would you want to worship him? Who is Jesus to you? If you do not know, if you are unsure, I give you a challenge. Read the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John this week, this Holy Week. Weigh out the evidence and come to your own conclusions. Today we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But we know this ride into Jerusalem seals his fate. We know the cross is only days away. However, we also know that the cross bridged the gap between God and man. We know that it was on the cross that Christ conquered death and sin. And we know that it is on the cross that God showed his amazing love for us. In a few moments, the band will lead us in two songs. During these songs, you're going to have the opportunity to come forward and get a palm branch. There will be people up at the front to pray with you if you wish. Take a few moments to think about who Jesus is to you today. Who did you see riding into Jerusalem on the donkey? Was he just a man? Was he a teacher? Was he a prophet? Was he your Savior? Was he your Lord? Perhaps today you want to declare like Jacob that he is the Messiah. Perhaps you are more like Ruth and are still unaware if Jesus is all that others claim. Either way, Jesus welcomes you to come closer and take a good look at him. Take a good look at him. As you come forward during the next two songs to collect your palm, feel free to ask for prayer to the prayer team for anything that God places on your heart. Let us pray. Holy God, as we enter this holy week, renew our minds and spirits. Let the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem inspire us to welcome him into our hearts anew. As we take our palm crosses, may they be a symbol of our desire to know him more intimately, to follow him more closely, and to live the lives that you have called us to. Amen.